We are blessed to broadcast my dad's teachings proclaiming the Word of God. You can connect with us throughout the week at cwh.org. Let's join Dad's message as he points out the lessons we can learn from Abraham's life in his sermon titled, Abraham, a Man Who Believed God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And I tell you, I just look forward to every weekend because I know I'm going to get together with all of you folks all over the world and the islands of the sea and where God only knows, and we're all worshiping the Lord together. And we're always praying also that people will come to know Jesus. There's some that don't know about the Lord, and that they'll pray and ask Jesus to come into their heart, and they'll be a child of God. And so I just rejoice that when we can get together. And today we're going to talk about Abraham, a man of faith, a marvel at his faith, and that'll help our faith. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. We get such wonderful letters, and so I like to just share. Can't share them all with you, but share some of them. And so I hope that maybe some of you will write to us and maybe send us a gift to help us in the work. And you get your pencil and paper at the end of the service. I'll tell you how you can contact us. But our first letter is from Hague, North Dakota. And it says, encloses a gift for the Christian Worship Hour from our Hull Christian Reformed Ladies' Aid. May this be a blessing to your broadcast on Sundays. May God bless you all. We so appreciate the simplicity of Pastor Salem's messages. I'd appreciate two copies of the DVD of A Heart of a Shepherd, if possible. Thank you, the Hull Church Ladies' Aid. And we're always happy when we hear from pastors or churches or from ladies' aides or people like that. We're just always happy when the church supports us, because we support the church. The church is ordained of God, and it's all important. And you need to be in a church, attending a church, helping a church. And they want to know if they can get DVDs. Now, we have this Heart of a Shepherd, and it is an hour movie, and and we'll send it to you on a free will offering basis. And if you don't have any money, you just plumb out, you could write, and we'll help us, like for people in prison. Sometimes they can show these movies, and so then they write, and we send them free and postpaid. And we do that until we go broke. But we won't go broke, because you know what happens? God lays it on the hearts of people. Let's say, oh, well, that I want to help these people that don't have postage. And they'll send a gift for that, and boy, the way we go. And for almost 40 years now, we've been preaching that wonderful word, and God's always provided. Here's Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you, the Christian Worship Hour changed my life forever. Thank you for helping my Lord find his way back into my heart. And that's exactly what it is, that she's a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, God tells us that, therefore, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so when you accept Christ, you say, well, how do you do that? You just simply ask Jesus to come into your heart. I was 10 years old. I asked Jesus into my heart, and he's been there 87 years, and he'll never leave me or forsake me. Going to be with me all the way to heaven. And he wants into your heart. He loves you. He died for you also. Let's see. What have I got here? Oh, Ames, Iowa. Oh, listen to this. Please send me the film about Pastor Salem, Heart of a Shepherd. Does he ride a wild bull in his movie? Now, I know this gentleman, Ames, Iowa. He's a friend of mine, and he supports us, sends gifts all the time to help us in the work, but he's a cowboy. I'm not a cowboy. I'm a sheep herder, and so I don't ride wild bulls, and that's why we know the sheep herders are smarter than cowboys. They don't ride wild bulls. But you can get the movie. You don't know what you'll see in it. And I hope you enjoy it. And we'll just keep going. And then one other one I want to share is from Frederick, South Dakota. That's kind of a little suburb of Aberdeen, and always nice to hear from those folks. And she says, I donated my DV, Heart of a Shepherd, to the Emma Burnham Library in Frederick, South Dakota. Could you please send me another one? And we'll be glad to do that. We send it free and postpaid. You just give us a love offering the best way you can, And if you don't have it, then now I'll tell you one thing. Retirement homes and all that, if you want to have this film, we'll send it to you free and postpaid. If you can use it in your services for your folks, we're glad to do that. Or if you're in prison, we always help people in prison. And somebody else will pay the bill. Somebody will send some money for postage. And the way we'll go, we'll carry on. And another thing we'd like to send you is the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study. And this month, our Bible study is about God saying, I will be with thee. I'll be with thee in time of trouble. I'll be with thee in the flood. I'll be with all of these. I think there's 6 or 8 different ways in which we have scriptures on following the Lord and trusting the Lord. And this little Bible study, a new song, you know, sometimes people, they have it in prison, and prisoners get together and have studies with it. Sometimes they use it for Sunday school, and sometimes retirement homes. So we'll just be glad to send it. It's a new study every month, and you write for us, and we'll sure write to you. And when you send your gift, I want you to know this, that we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization, and they audit our books and check everything we get so that we have to allow for every penny we receive and have to account for every penny we spend. And it's all above board, and you can count on it. So I hope that you'll help us out, because we are not underwritten by any organization. It's just simply a people who trust the Lord, and we're working with the Lord, and you just help us. And when you write to us, we'll just be fine. We'll get along just fine. So let's take a look at and see about this man, Abraham. And when you look at Abraham, you're going to see that he is really a famous figure in history. He's revered by all the world, really. The Arabs, who are the descendants of his son Ishmael, and Muslims throughout the world venerate him. And the Jews look up to Abraham as the founder of their nation. Christians honor him as the father of the faith. Abraham's name means father of a multitude. And so we're going to take some lessons from his life, lessons of faith. And the first thing I put down is Abraham gives us a supreme example of faith. And so people say, well, now what do you mean when you talk about faith? And so Warren Wiersbe defines faith. True Bible faith is confidence, obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. In other words, he's just saying the real Bible faith means we never question God. We just give our whole life to him, and we don't know what the circumstances are going to be, and we don't know what the consequences are going to be. He has my life, and we have multitudes. When they accept Jesus, Jesus says, I want you to give me your life. I gave my life for you. You give your life for me. And when you accept Jesus, you ask him into your heart, and then you say, I'll turn from my evil ways, my wicked ways, and I'll make you the Lord of my life. See? And 87 years ago, I did that. And I failed the Lord a lot of different times, but he's never failed me. And today I know that he's with me, and I'm in him, and I'm going to be and see him in heaven, and I can't wait. It's just so wonderful. So this faith simply means this. God speaks, we hear his word, we believe his word, and we act on it no matter what the circumstances or what the consequences might be. The circumstances may be impossible. Consequences may be frightening and unknown, but we obey God's word just the same, and we believe that he will do what is right and what is his best. And so this sort of faith doesn't ask questions as to why God leads as he does or why things happen as they do. I think it's all right when we're in some trials and we say, Dear Lord, now what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to do? But don't say, well, God, why did you do this? Or I'm done with God. Some people get bitter toward God, and they turn against God and have no part of him. Very foolish, and there's nowhere to go. Like Peter says, Lord, if we don't have you, where do we go? Where do we go? And there's no place to go, only Jesus. Beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And so a Christian has no right to ask God where he is going. That is, complete trust in God for the unknown has to be exercised. And that's what Abraham did. He left his home. He left his family. He left his loved ones. He left his security, and he followed God. And in Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, he not knowing where he was going. Abraham accepted what he couldn't understand. That's hard. Now listen to that. He didn't understand it at all, but he did it, and he accepted it, and that's hard to do. But to every one of us who will come that day when happens, something will happen to us, and we'll say that I wonder what God, I wonder why this happened. This doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And then we'll come to one to face life's hardest battles, the hardest battle, and that is to accept what we cannot understand. To accept what we cannot understand. When that hour comes to us and you have something and you can't understand it, and there it is, and you can't figure it out and make sense out of it, then I'll tell you what you do. You obey God. You have trust in God. You have no resentment. You say over and over, God loves me, and I rest in that love and that faith, and I'm taking God at his word. Do you realize that Abraham never did possess the promised land? All of his life he wandered. God is taking him to this land. He didn't know where it was. He didn't know how it was, miles and miles away, 500 miles away. He didn't know where it was. And he wandered throughout the countryside. The only parcel of ground he ever owned in Palestine was the cave of Machpelah, where he buried Sarah. Abraham was a stranger and a pilgrim, and he was a tent dweller. And so we have to be that way, be patient when we follow the Lord. We may not see anything happening. We may not see any results. It may be days, it may be long, they may be dreary. Our work may be futile, but we must go on, and we go on. If God has called us to the work, we're going to stay there and we're going to plod on. And that's exactly what I did, 97 years old. And I still don't know where the God is leading me, except I know I'm going to heaven, but I don't know what a day will bring forth. But it's the only way to travel. It's the only way to live. And that's exactly what Abraham did. That's exactly the way he lived. Abraham's faith never let him turn back. His descendants, when in the wilderness, you remember, they wanted to turn back, but the patriarchs never did wish to go back. Once they'd begun to follow God's call, they never looked back. They never left the hand of that plow, put their hand to the plow. They never stopped following the Lord and walking with the Lord. In spite of everything, they never wanted to forsake their call. Stay with it. Stay with it. It's all always too soon to give up and to quit. Someone put it like this. One of the tragedies of life is the number of people who turn back just a little too soon. One further effort, a little more waiting, a little more hoping would make the dream come true. Immediately a Christian is set out on some enterprise sent by God. He should feel that he has already passed the point of no return. There's no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus, we sing. I love that song, No Turning Back, No Turning Back. And then Abraham's faith made him separate himself from the world. Now God is going to do a work of redemption for lost mankind. And in order to do that work of redemption, he's going to have a special people through whom he can send the Bible and through whom he can send his son in the flesh. Abraham is going to be the founder. He's going to be the father of this special group of people through which God is going to make redemption possible for all the world. And they're going to come through his line, Abraham's line. So he calls Abraham to separate himself from the world, from idolatry and from the customs of that Mesopotamian world in which he was raised, and their false gods and their idols and their false ways. He's asking him to put that behind you, Abraham, and now you're going to work for me. You've got to separate yourself from the world. And I'm going to tell you, if you want God to use you, you're going to have to separate yourself from the world. You're going to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. I'll use you. But you have to be separated to God. You have to give everything you have to God. And this great God tells us we're not to be conformed to this world. As Christians, come out from among them. Be separate. Remember what Jesus compared us to? He compared us to salt. And he says, ye are the salt of the earth. And Saul does his work because it's different and it stops corruption and it stops in the way and it may be cutting a little bit, but it stands there and it changes thing and keeps thing. But God says, Jesus says, if you lost your savor, if you lost your flavor, then it's not good for use for anything but be trampled underfoot. You're no different than the world. Somebody says when God at Pentecost performed a miracle when he put the church in the world, and then the devil came and did a miracle and he put the world in the church. And so many times we just don't live for the Lord the way we should, and we need to come clean. That goes for Christian people and churches as a whole. Separate yourself and maybe be, might be a square and a circle. It might be a laugh at you. They might turn their back on you. They probably will. But think of the persecuted church, and they're standing up for the Lord, and it's costing them their lives and their homes and their children and their parents. But they never turn back. They never turn back. They're not of this world. They're of another world. And that's what Abraham is teaching us. And then he says another thing. Abraham's faith was terribly, sorely touched. There was a supreme test, an ultimate test, when God asked him to give up his beloved son Isaac as a human sacrifice. No greater test has ever been given any man, anywhere, anytime, any place. Abraham obeyed God. He actually would have literally taken his son's life on that altar if God wouldn't have stopped him, because Abraham believed that he was going to have to sacrifice his son. And you know what it tells us in the Bible in Genesis 22, verse 3? After God told him what to do, he had took Isaac and he took his servants and some wood, and they had a knife. And they started out, and it says, Abraham rose up early in the morning, and he's going to Mount Moriah to sacrifice his son. He didn't drag his feet. He moved right out. And if God wanted him to do it, he would do it. But I'm going to tell you something about Abraham. His faith was so strong. It was so pure and was so vivid to his heart. He believed in his heart that if he sacrificed his son, God would raise him up. Just like he raised up Lazarus, just like he raised up the little girl, all of the rest. He had that power. And you remember when they got to the foot of Mount Moriah, and he told his servants, you all remain here, my son and I. He says, we will come back. He was going to sacrifice his son and see God raise him from the dead and come back with that son. That's the faith he had. We read in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, even from which also he received him in a figure. And he believed that if God would do, well, it would, you could paraphrase it and read it like this. He believed that if Isaac died, God would bring him back to life again. And that's just about what happened. For as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was doomed to death, but he came back again alive. God is able to do that, and he will take care of us, and he will help us through it. And someone has said, men spend the greater part of their lives putting limitations on the power of God, and they don't think God can do it, and so they worried. And I wonder if he just didn't give him a special faith, a special help. So that, Isaac would have been around 20 years of age. There's no way that old man could ever put that boy on that altar and take his life. And the son asked him, Father, we have the fire and we have the knife. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says, God will take care of that. God will take care of that. And so that's the kind of faith we have to have. If God asked him to give up his son, Abraham did it. He held nothing back from God. God was first in his life. God would get the best of his life. My dear friends, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. And then Abraham's faith looked beyond this world. In Hebrews 11, verse 10 says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. This wonderful city is not described until we come to the book of Revelation. And I wonder sometimes, there's nothing in the scripture that shows this, but you know, God gave St. Paul, he gave him a vision of heaven. And Paul says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, the glorious thing God has prepared for them that fear him. He got him just a little glimpse of it. And I wonder, along the way, if God maybe didn't give Abraham that same glimpse of that holy city. Because this poor Abraham, he had no foundation. He was looking for that wonderful city, that city where foundations were made of 12 precious stones, where the gates were of 12 pearls. And in Revelation 21, verse 21, each individual gate was one pearl, and the streets pure gold like transparent glass. And he could see that. And then Revelation, that great voice out of heaven in Revelation that tells us, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven was his destiny. Abraham knew it because it was promised to him. We know it because God promised him that he would take him to that land, that eternal land. And that's what it was, the gates of heaven. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friends, in that Old Testament, there's the only way to God was through faith. And in the New Testament, the only way to God is through faith. And right today, this present day, the only way to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't understand it all. You can't see all the way. You don't need to see all the way. All we need to do is to see, what does God want me to do today, right now, and tomorrow I'll see what he has for me. And I'll walk with him all the way. Abraham believed God. And so look at how he got to heaven. He says, Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That's just that simple. Abraham believed God. What God told him, he acted on that. He believed that, and that put him into heaven. And somebody say, well, then if Abraham believed God, then I believe in God, so I'll go to heaven too. Well, not so fast, Buster. Because things have changed, and I'll tell you why. Because since Abraham, Jesus has come to the cross. Jesus has come and he's died upon a cross, and he shed his blood to pay for your sins on that cross. And he was buried for 3 days, and he's risen again just as he said. And so now, listen to me. We have to do more than believe in God. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Remember in John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. He says, you believe in God? Not enough. John 14, 1. You believe in God? Believe also in me. You have to have Jesus. You have to do more than just believe in God. James talked, believing in God is not enough. James, St. James talks about it. This is what he says. In James chapter 2 and verse 19, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The demons also believe and tremble. James is telling us, you say you're going to heaven because you believe in God, big deal. The demons also believe in God, and they do something you don't do. When they think about God, they believe and they tremble. And you just take his name in vain. And so it's just believing if God would get you into heaven, then every dirty, rotten skunk could get into heaven. It's just believing in God. Who doesn't believe in God except the fools? And so what you have to do, you have to receive Jesus Christ, because the only way. And you say, I don't know how to do that. Jesus is in heaven and I'm on earth. And besides, I'm so filthy, dirty. I'm with my sins. I don't know what to do. And I'll tell you what to do. Your sins, though they're like scarlet, shall be like wool. And so he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in. I'll dwell with him, and I'll wash away your sins. And as many as received him, as many as say, Jesus, come into my heart. I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I'll turn from my evil ways, and I'll live for you just like Abraham. I'll live for you alone. And thank you, Jesus. And if you do that, you write to us. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And send us a gift. And if you help us in the work, we've got to pay our way just like anybody else. James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people, they won't send. They'll think you're all right. We will live from day by day. We're not underwritten by any organization or corporation, but we're underwritten by God's people. So it depends on you. And for almost in our 40th year, we're going loving the Lord and serving the Lord. And we just love you and we pray for you all the time. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And remember, we're underwritten by the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That is, we're a member of that organization. They audit our books every year, and every penny is accounted for. So now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the church in Malaysia, the persecuted church. Dear Jesus, we pray for our loved ones and friends in Malaysia. We pray that you'll just give them courage and faith, strong faith, to know that all these things are going to work right and there's heaven will be their home because they trust in you. Pray for those on beds of sickness. Pray for those that are lonely. Pray for the young people with all of the decisions of life to make. Pray for those precious young people. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, and I'm praying there'll be multitudes all over the world will be praying and accepting you, and then you write to have them write to us, Lord. And we'll give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly, let me give you that number again. It's a Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. It's Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send a gift over at christianworshiphour.com. Or look at our website, and you get the whole story. And so we're just praying that you'll stand by, and we'll do our best, and you do your best. And God will take care of us. And in heaven, we'll get together. We'll talk about it and thrill about the multitudes, the thousands upon thousands of people that came because they listened to this wonderful message of the gospel, the one message of God. So we want you to know, the Christian Worship Hour, that we love you. God loves you. And I know I love you. And I just want to see you in heaven so bad. But you're never going to get there unless you make that prayer. You've got to be born again. And when you make that prayer, you're born again. So you pray it, just in your own words. And then we'll have a great gathering together around the throne of God, praising God and rejoicing. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.